You're listening to Wheelationships.
Thanks for coming. We've been talking about fences, good fences. And I'll remind you, that's so if you do miss any of the classes, you can go online and look. And sometimes what I've started doing is, like last week, Trudy used a video clip as well. And when we can, I put those on the website as well. So last week's video clip that was part of class is there on the website. And this week we're using another video clip, and that'll be on the website as well. So you can go back and look at it. Today we're going to finish up on the myths of fences. When we put fences in our life, we set those boundaries in place. We have some things that we believe to be true that aren't true, and we act according to those, and so we don't end up setting the good fences that we should. And so we've talked the last couple weeks about those myths, and I'm going to finish that up real quick, and then we're going to go on to some other things. But as we talk about this, let me get my little remote going here, and we're going to talk about fence me in this morning. And we're on myth number 7. So if you missed the first 6, you can go back to the website and catch the first 6. But myth number 7, good fences make me feel guilty. That's a myth. Now, you might say, and rightly so,
it doesn't look right.
We changed the glue.
It does that again. Okay. I have an adapter problem. Thank you.
Oh, wow.
Good fit.
That's
all I got. Sorry.
Wow. Where's that fence?
Yeah, anyway, okay, the myth is good fences make me feel guilty. Now, you might say, and rightly so, when you put a fence in your life and you have to say no, you might say, well, that makes me feel guilty. Okay, yeah. How many of you have had that experience? You've set a boundary, you've had to say no. Maybe it was to a parent, maybe it was to a friend. And you feel guilty. You've had that experience. Okay? All right. Most of you are able to tell the truth. Good. Now, the myth here is not that there will be guilt feelings. The myth is that the fence caused the guilt feelings. It's not the fence that caused the guilty feelings. It's your reaction to it. Let me ask you something else. If you do something nice for someone, like you give them a gift, what do you expect in return?
A thank you.
Gratitude, right? At most, if you give a gift and you give it in the right manner with the right attitude, now you may give a gift and you're hoping to get a gift in return. It's not a good way to do a gift, because then it's not a gift. But if you give a gift, you want gratitude. Okay, so that's what we owe. We owe gratitude. We don't owe a lot of other things that we want to guiltily put into it. Okay, we don't have an obligation, and that's a lot of times when we're setting a boundary. We allow the feeling of obligation to come in. Well, I should do this for them because they're my friend or they're my parent or they're my child. I have this obligation to do this, okay, because of who they are. Well, because of who they are, you owe them gratitude for that relationship. You owe them gratitude for being your friend, or gratitude for all they've done for you because they've given. And when you give something, what is owed is gratitude, but not obligation, because then it's not a gift. See, and we understand this when we're giving, but we have a hard time when we're getting. And so we have these false feelings of, well, if I say no, that no is causing guilt. No, the no is caused by the feeling of obligation you have. And you get on with it, okay? All right, good? Truth is, good fences release me from guilt. If I have good fences, they release me from guilt. It's true because good fences tell me what I'm responsible for, and they tell me who I'm responsible to. Good fences say, okay, this is my responsibility, and I am supposed to take care of this, and I have no guilt for responsibilities I'm not responsible for. So when I say, no, this is what I'm responsible for, I'm sorry, I'd love to help you here, but I have my responsibility of time and effort and all of this other stuff, and I don't have to be guilty for what I'm not responsible for because I'm not responsible for it. There, you might have sadness, you might have, you know, this kind of, oh, I wish I could help. There might be a sadness associated with that, fine. But that, you know, empathy, but guilt shouldn't be a part of it because you're not responsible for it. Okay? Everybody good?
Yeah.
All right. Final myth, number 8, is fences are permanent. A lot of times we hesitate to set a boundary, set a fence, to say no, or just to open the gate and say yes, because we're afraid, especially in the areas of no's, that we're going to burn bridges. You know, I don't want to say no and set this fence in place and kind of cut off anything. But you own your no. You own your no. And since you own your no, you own that fence, you can move it. And a lot of times we'll move it when relationships change. There were a lot more no's when our children were smaller because they needed those fences. They needed those boundaries. And the difficulty we have now as they're getting older, so are we, is learning where to move those fences because they do need to be moved. There are areas that now I'm not responsible for that. You're responsible for that. And sometimes the no gets a little stronger in places and sometimes it opens up in places because now that's their responsibility. So sometimes it's the person that's matured and you can get closer to them and allow them inside your fence more often, and so the fences will change. Truth is, good fences are adjustable. Okay? Good fences are adjustable. Any questions about any of that? Comments? Because we're moving on. Yeah?
People with different personality profiles have more or less difficult times, like servant or someone that's a people pleasing type of personality. Do they have more troubles with this 7 as far as, you know, feeling the guilt and so forth?
Do people pleasers have a harder time with myth number 7? Yes.
Okay. Just because that's their personality.
It's not personality. People pleasing is not a personality issue. People pleasing is a heart issue.
Okay.
And we will talk in, I think, a couple weeks. I think 2 weeks. We're going to hit people pleasers. Maybe it's next week. Anyway. But yeah, people pleasing is not a personality issue. All right. For those of you that have been here since the beginning and you've gone through all this, we've talked about the laws of fences and we've talked about the myths of fences. I hope all of this isn't wearing you out. Because we got a lot still to talk about. We've really only laid the foundation of principles of boundaries, and those of you that haven't been here, don't worry because things kind of get repeated and we're going to flow back in and kind of put them together and try to put some real application to it from this point. Put some meat on it. One of the things we want to focus on is grown-up relationships, marriage, and grown-ups. We talked a lot about how this applies to kids, and that'll still come into it, but so where we're going to start is this, building fences for yourself. Building fences for yourself. Or, you can also call this, how to become more lovable. Yes. How to become like Tim. Yeah. Okay. How to become more lovable. Building fences for yourself. And when I say building fences for yourself, what I'm saying here is that I need fences for me. A lot of times when we talk about fences, we talk about boundaries, we're thinking about the other person, where I need to stop them and where I need to, you know, I'm talking about boundaries. But first we have to think about boundaries for me, where I need to stop and where I need to say no to me and where I need to say yes to me. I need to establish fences and lines that I will not cross. This includes all those things that I'm responsible for. And if you've been here since the beginning, you may remember the things I'm responsible for. Feelings, attitudes, beliefs, behaviors. And when behaviors become repeated, they're habits. So habits, choices, values, limits, talents, thoughts, desires, love. Those are all the things that I am responsible for. We say, yeah, I know that, but the real problem is my spouse, you see. Or you might say, you know, I know what I'm responsible for, but the real problem I'm having is with that jerk of a coworker. Or the real problem I'm having is my mom just doesn't know when to quit. Or the real problem I'm having is this friend of mine who just kind of goes on and on and on and on and on. Okay. Let's. I want you to do something I don't normally ask you to do. Okay? Let's do something. I'm going to assume for the rest of the morning, let's assume that we're all the good spouse. Or we're all the good friend. Let's assume that. Okay?
Sure.
Okay? I'm the good spouse. And Trudy can do the same thing. She can say, no, jerk. I'm the good spouse. Okay, go ahead and assume that. Assume that you are on the good side of the ledger. And that a lot of the problems, most of the problems, have to do with the other person. I'm going to let you do that, because you do that anyway. Okay, maybe it's just me. I don't think so. If we assume that we're the one that's ahead on the scoreboard, that most of the problems are not my fault, I still have to concentrate on my fences. And maybe not for the reason you think. I'm going to give you a couple reasons. I should build fences for myself because, firstly, I am responsible. I am responsible. Okay, maybe your spouse or your friend or whoever that is behind on their scoreboard, maybe they're chronically late, or maybe they're financially irresponsible, or maybe they tend to withdraw and avoid relationship, or maybe they have an anger issue. Or maybe they attempt to control you and manipulate you. Or some other issue there. That captures most of them right there. Maybe that's that. Whatever the issue may be, especially if you're talking marriage, then it's a marriage problem. It's not a spouse problem. It's a friendship problem. It's not a friend problem. It has to do with both of you. You can't, see, especially in marriage, you cannot build fences for your spouse successfully. You can try. But their fence is not your responsibility. And then what we want to do is we want to build fences for the other person. Well, the other person's fence is not your responsibility. Your responsibility is your fence. So the fences have to be yours. Look at this, these two scriptures I gave you. Matthew 5. So if you're presenting the sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. So what happens? You did something wrong. You're supposed to go and make it right. Work on it. Matthew 18. Same book, same author. Actually, same guy speaking. Jesus. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses, you have won that person back. They do something. You still have to go and make it right. No matter what the issue is in your marriage or your relationship, you need to take the initiative to solve it. Doesn't mean you'll be able to solve it. It means you need to take the initiative to get the ball rolling. It's a biblical principle. If you're the problem, then you need to go fix it. If they're the problem, then you need to go start working on it. No matter who the issue started with, it's your responsibility, it's my responsibility to take the first step. Okay? Now, what's the problem we really have with that?
Pride.
Pride.
You have to learn to grow first before you can actually
have to grow.
Anything.
You have to grow.
It kind of sounds like you have to be a busybody. Fix everything.
And we're always expecting a result, especially on step two there. Mm-hmm. We want to go fix this thing,
yeah.
Make it go away,
sure.
And it's like now, but it don't work that way.
Yeah.
We just have to go do.
Yeah, but if I don't feel responsible, why does I?
Yeah, I don't feel I'm responsible. I didn't do it. I didn't start it. Why should I? You know, okay, if I did something, I'll go, you know, apologize. But if I didn't do it, why should I have to go? Why? It's not fair.
Yeah, like it.
Not fair. If fairness is an issue with you, then you're going to have problems. Okay.
Tim,
yeah.
What happens if you do go to someone because you know all of a sudden your relationship is not the same, and you go to them and say, "What's wrong? What happened?" And their response is, "Let's just go on from now. He said, she said, never works. Just don't worry about it. We'll just go on from today." And it's never the same. But you've tried. And you really don't know what you've done. What do you do then? Just go on and pretend like everything's fine, knowing that it isn't in their heart?
No. I think we'll get into some of this later, but
okay.
But let me just say now, it's up to us to bring truthfulness, to bring honesty. And in that case, what are they doing? They're avoiding. They're withdrawing. They're avoiding. They're avoiding connection. And it's really up to us to point that out and say, "Look, I believe you're trying to avoid this. I really want connection with you." And then we place some limits and say, "Okay, you know, since you won't talk about this, I can't force you to do that. But just realize this leaves us kind of in an awkward place."
And that's a fence. That's not a healthy fence. But it is a fence.
It's a wall.
It's
not a fence.
Yeah, they put up a wall where they're not going to open that up, and you can't open it up.
That's where you got to start praying.
You can't open it up. That's not within your boundary.
But as long as you've tried.
But you have to be open, and we'll talk. Let me go on, because there's some things that we normally do in that case that we shouldn't do, all right? This thing of, especially when you're the good person, especially when you're the good spouse, and the other person, you know they've messed up, they've been angry or controlling or whatever. And kind of what you're talking about here, helplessness is a very common feeling. Well, what do I do? They won't open up. They won't admit it. They won't. They just blow up at me or they blow me off. And what can happen is we can kind of internalize that and get hopeless and get helpless and because we keep focusing on them. We keep focusing on what they're not doing. We keep focusing on what they should be doing. They should be opening this up. They should be letting us in. They're making it feel awkward and I get frustrated and why? Because we're still there. We're not here. What do I need to do? How do I need to react to this? We have choices. We still have tools. One of the ones I just mentioned, honesty, truthfulness, engagement, limits, consequences. We still have tools, but a lot of times we just kind of, I don't have really any responsibility here because they're the ones that messed up. They're the ones that are in the wrong. Okay, another simple and obvious reason we need to build fences for ourselves is I'm not blameless. I'm not blameless. Humility is going to start right there. I am not blameless. Now, if it turns out, if you stop and examine and look and really, you know, and get outside and really get it deep down to the core and you find out that, by golly, I am blameless. Good. Congratulations. Examining your fences is not a bad thing, okay? You haven't wasted your time. And having good fences won't be a problem for you if you're blameless. However, most of the time, even if we begin as the innocent party, our reactions and our responses and our choices after that are not always blameless. Let me give you an example from a book we've been reading. Molly was not too good with money. And Molly would routinely overdraw her account. She'd get busy, she'd get in a rush, and she'd lose track of the checks, and so the account would get overdrawn, and her husband, Brad, would blow up. Okay? Oh, I can't believe you did. You overdraw it again. We got finance charges, we got to pay this off, blah, blah, blah. And she would get hurt, and she would withdraw. She promised to do better, and she'd do better for a little while, and then things would get out of hand again, and she'd fail again. And in talking to Brad, the counselor said, well, why don't you close the account? Or why don't you make her pay the overage charges? And come to find out in counseling that Brad was the kind of person who was a very responsible kind of person. And people that were irresponsible just drove him crazy. And he married one. But he wouldn't put the fence in place, and he wouldn't limit his reactions. And in further counseling, the counselor found out that he really, you know, he finally admitted that he didn't want Molly to be responsible. Because everybody in his, you know, he was used to pointing people out and going, oh, how irresponsible, the government's irresponsible, and they're irresponsible. And if Molly became responsible, he wouldn't be able to rail at her. And he kind of needed that, you know. That and that's one way we can kind of further things along when we should be limiting ourselves. Look at this 7:5 Matthew. Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you'll see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. It's easy for the good person, the good spouse, the good friend, to gain support from other friends who will readily agree with you and say, oh yeah, they're terrible. Oh, I can't believe you're still with them. Oh, you must be a saint. I would never be able to handle something like that. And we just, you know, eat it up. Like, oh yeah. Oh.
Hallelujah. You're so good.
More than likely, though, we have a flaw or two. But as long as we can keep pointing at the other person, our flaws don't seem so bad. this leads to the third and probably the most important reason that we need to focus on ourselves and place limits on ourselves is this. Blaming them hides the truth about me. This is one of the most obvious points in the story of the fall of Adam and Eve, that when they fell, the blame started. She did it. The serpent did it. The woman you gave me did it. Blaming. And blaming is just that attempt to hide. If I can shine the light bright enough somewhere else, then the darkness in my own life won't be seen. Things may have happened. Your spouse, your friend, the other person, may be a bad, rotten, dirty, no good, blah, blah, blah. Okay? Yeah. But what about you? See, blame obscures ownership and it obscures responsibility. Write those two words down. Ownership and responsibility. Blame obscures those two things. I got a short clip. So, we can be more lovable, but what it takes is not fixing all the other people in our life, it takes fixing ourselves. And we tend to be more concerned, you know, we say, but they're angry, and they're irresponsible, they're inattentive, they're self-centered. Okay, maybe. So, we withdraw from the anger and resent the irresponsibility. And let go of some of our responsibilities because they don't seem to care. And we decide that we can better take care of ourselves because they're not going to take care of us. And so we stay focused on the anger and the irresponsibility and the inattentiveness and the self-centeredness. And we discount our own withdrawal and resentment and irresponsibility and selfishness. And we bypass in that an opportunity that God has given us to grow and become more like Jesus. As much as we want things to be fair, we don't always want to limit ourselves like we want to limit everybody else. So, you know, it's a shame because we're only, you know, if you're married, you're only partially responsible for your marriage. You're 100% responsible for yourself. Limiting myself provides freedom for you. That's the last reason that we should look at ourselves. Limiting myself provides freedom for you. And I heard in my head when I wrote that, yeah, I do all the work and he has all the fun. I do all the work and she just goes out and plays. That's not what we mean here. Works like this. Again, assume you're the good person. The other person has a problem. Anger, resentment, irresponsibility, insensitivity, withdrawal, pride. They have this problem. And you want them to change. You want them to grow. So what do? If you don't limit yourself, then what you'll do is you might control, you might nag, you might pester, you might blame, you might retaliate, you might manipulate. And if you do that, what is your spouse or the other person going to respond to? They're going to respond to your blame, your retaliation, your anger, your manipulation, your control, all of those things. That's what they're going to respond to. If, however, you limit yourself and you set limits and respond with loving kindness and limits, then what your spouse will be left to respond to is the love and the limits. Next week, we're going to look at what the fences are that we need to build for ourselves. And we'll go on after that and talk about some of the values that we need in relationships. Okay? Thank you for coming this morning. We'll see you next week.